cliffcentral.com. A very good afternoon. Welcome to the Youth Leadership Platform on Cliff Central, brought to you by Leadership Platform and Student Brands. You're back with your boy with the most, as they say in the streets, Bongani Dao. So we're just from the launch. It's a very fast-paced life that we live, you know. We just launched the Youth Leadership Platform, which is an extension of the show that we have from now until 3 p.m. So what the Youth Leadership Platform is about, it's a voice, it's a vehicle for change that we want youth to come to the front, to hold leaders accountable, and we want leaders to be able to communicate effectively with the youth, and we want the youth and the leaders to, in a collaborative effort, to come together and find solutions to drive the future of South Africa to a brighter one. We were just at the Nelson Mandela Foundation, you know, looking around and walking around the area, absorbing the sentiments of what a great man Nelson Mandela was, you know. And there's quite a number of them. Uncle Kathy was one of them, Steve Biko, and the list goes on. And the baton has symbolically been passed down to us to have and drive that kind of change and revolution that South Africa needs. But our race is different. Theirs was a regime and a system that oppressed certain people. Now, there's certain regimes and systems in our heads and hearts that oppress us, that need the youth of today to help unlock and to set people free. Free is all we want to be. Right?
Right.
So I have.
I take it to church.
Allow me to preach. So I have some of the finest and brightest young minds that were attending the launch earlier on today. And I will start off from my left. I have lovely ladies, and then a gentleman, and then a lady, just to paint a picture of what's happening in the studio. We have Sasha Lee running around. So if you go on YLP Cliff Central on Twitter and Instagram and Youth Leadership Platform on Facebook, you'll be able to catch the conversation live and be able to be part of it. And we would like your participation. What are some of the things that you want us to discuss as from the launch of the Youth Leadership Platform? Voice out your opinions and questions to us so we can discuss them. So I'll start off to my left, not Balissa, the technical girl who gets everything running, whom I love so much, but the lady sitting on the first mic.
Okay, hi, I'm Tandi.
Tandi. Hey. Tandi, where are you from? Give us a bit about you. Tandi, you're leaving us high and dry, so to speak.
I'm sorry again. I'm Tandi. I'm from Pretoria. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm studying at Boston Media House.
What are you studying there?
Marketing and media.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome.
Okay. Hi, I'm Candice. I do the most as well. And I'm
hey, girl.
Yes. And I am studying my honors in international relations with a specific focus on to gender and development.
Wow. Okay. We'll get into that just in a jiffy.
Hi, I'm Kabelo Lukhotwane. I live at Yeovil. And then I'm the co-founder of Hustle Empire.
And what does Hustle Empire do?
Okay, Hustle Empire is a multimedia company in which we offer services such as photography, digital marketing, and events. Yep.
And events. Yep. So live coverage of the events.
Live coverage of the events, yeah.
From being behind the camera. All right.
My name is Nantobeko Ngosi. Yes. I'm originally from Mpumalanga, Nelspruit, but I'm currently at Wits University as a third-year LLB student. And at times, I'm a part-time Wits SRC member.
Really?
Lovely.
Yes. Okay. So we have lovely and vibrant people in the studio today.
Yep.
And we'll kick off the conversation in this fashion. So we will talk about the launch that we were at. We'll hear some of the reviews that you guys have for us, and then I guess we'll pick up the conversation from there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I thought that the conversation was heading in the right direction. And I really enjoy the fact that the discussion of location was brought up. You know, in terms of having these discussions in Houghton, there's a disconnect between actually empowering the normal, ordinary people. So the fact that we're heading in that direction and there's so many opportunities and platforms for the youth to dictate what it is or the terms that we want to happen to us is a really, it's a brilliant step forward. Yeah.
Yeah, we want to take the conversation to where it matters most, you know, cut through the clutter and speak to the people that are facing these challenges that we have. Thanks a lot, Candace. Gabelo?
Yeah, I strongly feel that the Sibanye leadership program was a very adequate program for especially us youth, you know. Mm-hmm. They brought in, you know, valuable suggestions in which they spoke about young leaderships and then how we as young people struggle into going into the whole entrepreneurship journey from especially young people from townships, you know. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult for a township kid to start off thinking of what they want to go into, you know, and there's no support, you know, there's no support within the townships, and we need people such as the Sibanye leaders to come within our communities and empower young people, you know, to keep on moving and give them, I could say, a light in a direction where they could actually go, you know. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I got there late, guys.
The African timing.
Yeah, but for me, like the last speaker was actually the person speaking before the questions, and what I loved about what he said was that there are times when it's going to be challenging, and when it's challenging, that's when you know that you need to continue.
Yeah.
Because if what he said actually was that if you do not feel stretched, then you need to go.
Yes.
If you're not challenged, then leave. Because in everything that you want to do as a young person and in whatever sphere you want to be in, if you're not challenged, then that means go somewhere where you're going to be stretched. Go somewhere where you're going to wake up in the morning and you're like, I don't feel like doing this because it's so much, but you still go and do the most.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Like some of our honest students
mm-hmm.
are going through the most, you know?
Yeah.
Too
find
much.
Them complaining all the damn time uh-huh. about the workload and the stress uh-huh. that comes from
being
the
kind
of work that, yeah, that they do. Certain weeks, they think they can't make it through them, but, well, they eventually do.
Mm.
Yeah. So now, What are your takes? So, walking out of that environment and that conversation that we had. Firstly, did you enjoy my speech?
The Jinga. I really love the Jinga part. You have a really great way of establishing a historical context and then bringing it back to relevant times.
Mm.
So, what is your Jinga? Is the new, you know, term that the youth
would
use.
Would you like to take our listeners through that? Maybe because they didn't hear me.
And I don't think I'm going to be as like great as the way you put it. But basically, you know, he took us through a story in which, I think it's best that you explain it. But in Brazil, they had this dance called the martial arts called the casa. What is it called?
The capoeira.
Capoeira, right? And it got banned, and then, you know, the youth were trying to take that and see how they establish it within their everyday lives, and then it became a norm in soccer. And then Pele, who was our, you know, the soccer superstar, decided that, you know what, guys, I'm gonna make it right for the youthful, and we're gonna make it our Jinga. We're gonna empower people to start doing more, doing the most, you know. So just summarized version, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what's your big idea? Pele took Jinga and won the World Cup for Brazil in 1948 and has gone on to win 3 further World Cups. And he did that by going back to the roots of Brazil and what Brazil stands for and what they're about, which is the Jinga that resonates to their historical narratives that could be told. So yes, what are some of your highlights from the launch itself and the conversations that we had? What did you guys take home?
Do you want to go, girl?
Okay,
yeah,
let me go.
Nonto, yes.
so what I got out of that was that there were a lot of people that young people that are hungry for success. Mm-hmm. In as much as now as young people, we're painted as we're lazy, we want freebies, we don't want to work and all of that. What I realized in the launch was that there are a lot of people that want to work, but they're not given the platform mm-hmm. to actually start doing something. So I think it's a matter of opening up, not opening up the industry, but but opening up opportunities for young people. What I thought of was, I'm doing law, and because next year I'm doing my final year, everyone aspires to go to Norton, everyone aspires to just go to these big law firms, but no one actually wants to sit down and start their own firms, you know. So for me, it's like, as young people, we want to start our own firms. Now we need to know where to go about in order for us to start those law firms. Mm. It's not like we always want to be employed by the big guns. Mm-hmm. We want to mm-hmm. be our own mm-hmm. big guns, and exactly. we need to start somewhere. Mm. So I think it's a matter of now just empowering us as young people that this is what you need to do. This is where. So let's get someone who's top there to actually be a mentor. Mm. Tell you that these are the steps that you need to take. Right now I've been thinking and I've been stressing. I'm like, I'm doing my third year, I haven't been signed anyway. What am I gonna do after my final year? Because law firms, they sign you for your articles 2 years prior.
Okay.
Your qualification, you mm-hmm. finish your degree. So now I'm like, I'm stressing. I'm like, what am I gonna do? Where am I gonna work? Am I gonna earn 5,000 rand a month for a degree that costs more than 100,000 rand in a year? Mm. So what's gonna happen? So now I've started to sort of shift my thinking into, what is it that I can do with this degree that has empowered me to actually do something about it? And another thing, we're not looking into going back to our communities. The reason why the courts are built in towns and whatever is because there's no firm in the rural areas. It's because there's no legal advice in the rural areas, and those are the people that actually need the help. Those are the people that are exploited. So we now need to kind of shift our way of thinking and where we actually think success is, and go back to our people. The more people go back home, the more empowerment. Yes, the more empowered our communities are actually going to be. Now people will stop aspiring to be, oh, I want to be like, what's that guy from Suits? Like that person.
Harvey.
Yeah, like, someone will be like, one day I want to be like Nontobego. Not because I'm saying, hey, I'm a role model, because that's a heavy responsibility.
Yes.
But at least if someone aspires to be like someone they know, someone they live next to, not someone that they've never seen and they'll never see ever in their lives. Mm. So I think it's a matter of, now we need to wise up. We've got this education that our parents wanted. Now let's do something about it. Let's change the status quo. Mm. So yeah.
We've got lovely gentlemen that have joined us as well in the studio, who are sitting waiting to give us their opinions as well on some of the things that happened and what their take is on current South Africa and how we can best move the country forward and take ownership whilst doing that as the youth of South Africa, 38% of the entire population, which is a very significant number, the foundation of what, if not attended to, could cripple the country. You know, if the youth is not attended to and the youth is not groomed the way they're supposed to, and they don't have the necessary purpose to do the things that people have died to see the country do, then we're in big trouble. So to my left again, I have a lovely gentleman in the red. I'll have him introduce himself, and then just tell us, what are your highlights from attending the launch today?
Okay. My name is Mzwandile. Mzwandile Pizzo. Oh, my highlights today is just, we were engaging each other, trying to enhance the skills and to give each other awareness about what's going in the country currently, the economic climate, the political climate, and the social climate. Those climates are currently volatile.
Mm-hmm.
They're not rich enough. They're not fertile for us to be able to say we need to grind youth leadership.
Yes.
How do we start to grow youth leadership if we don't allow youth participation in all economic sectors?
Very true.
How do you allow youth leadership in all youth leadership to grow if you don't allow youth participation in political sector?
Mm.
These sectors, we are not represented. How many are youth in parliament?
Mm.
how many are youth in boardrooms?
Yes.
So what I'm saying is, there's 37% of the population is youth, which is approximately 20 million South African. This is the foundation of South Africa itself. We are a young nation. Mm-hmm. However, these people who should be running the country, growing the country, participating in all sectors to make sure the country is stable are not taken care of. Mm. And that is what's going to destabilize the country in the near future. Mm. This is how politics starts. Look at what is happening in countries like Egypt, countries like Brazil, countries like Libya. What happened there? Those countries to be overthrown, it was because of the neglecting of youth. Mm. Every uprising started because of youth was neglected. And that is growing in South Africa. Every protest that you see in the township...
Because youth are...
Neglected.
Yes.
Yeah. So what I'm trying to say is, we have these problems. The problem is that we're not participating, mm-hmm, in the economic sector. We're not taken seriously. Our education is not prepared to feed labor demands.
Yeah.
So my solutions were, let's establish a youth employment policy.
Okay.
A youth employment policy like BEE. Triple BEE says a certain percentage of the labor within a company should be black. Mm. Why don't we have such a similar policy that says a certain percentage in a company should be youth?
Should be youth. Mm. Before we get into that, I really love the points that you're bringing up. But I'm going to move to my right and have this gentleman on my right in a blue jacket to introduce himself. And then let's have your highlights, and then we'll come back now and you know, sort of consolidate the ideas that are coming from you.
Yes, I go by the name of Simpiwe Joshua.
Okay.
And I'd like to bring the highlights about the vicious cycle of poverty.
Okay.
Of which it started from back then. It was love, but now love, it has become like the way of selling your soul for gold, to riches and diamond rings. Mm-hmm. And on another concept that I would like to talk about is about traveling and location, of which large sections of our population living far away from their place of work. Without cheap public transport, the minimum wage that potential employees will consider is high, including the significant cost of travel. What is the point in traveling to work only to pay 3/4 of your wages in travel cost?
Mm.
And another one is general poor education.
Mm-hmm.
Levels thus a mismatch, too much unskilled labor, insufficient skilled labor. This has been exacerbated by the growth in tertiary sectors of the economy at the expense of primary, particularly agriculture and mining, at the rate far faster than the country can be retrained.
Mm.
And if I go to what I wrote earlier on about the vicious cycle of poverty, is that the long unemployed are nearly unemployable. Skills become rusty and the ability to perform effectively degrades.
Mm.
This is one of the reasons periods of high cyclical unemployment can give rise to higher structural unemployment.
Mm.
This has been partly identified in terms of the need to employ our youth early on, even at subsidized wages, in order to give them the work experience and skills to become employable in future.
So it's very disturbing. The access to education, when it eventually comes, the quality of education does not match the quality of skills and requirements that are needed in the workplace.
True.
So then they stay out of work. Then even the quality or even the skills that they've acquired up to that point will not be needed by the time they need to be employed, which then will never happen. Mm. So hence the statistics stay as high as they are. I'd like someone else to join into the conversation. There's another gentleman that I want to introduce into the conversation. All right. So seemingly that won't be happening.
Bongani saying that.
Yes.
On what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Education is not evolving as labor markets are evolving. Okay.
Take us through that.
What I'm trying to say
is... break that down.
Let me break that down. What I'm trying to say is there's so many new careers that are in place. As much... look at it. We're no longer in the industrial age. We're currently in what we call the information age.
Yes.
That means now the skills that were hard labor then are not as important as skills that are needed now. Now we need information technologists. We need people who do digital marketing. We need people who are programming new apps. We need those people. This is the booming industry. That industry is still growing. That industry is the future. But we're not telling anyone that. We're not telling our kids in the township that. Nobody's telling somebody in the township that. People are still told to go do teaching. People are still told to go
HR.
Engineer, HR, all these things. And those skills are becoming redundant because of what I'm trying to say is the market for HR is saturated. The market for accounting is saturated, but there are open markets like digital. So what I'm trying to say is labor markets and education needs to evolve as much as labor markets are evolving. We need more internet. Imagine how many mini cliff centrals we could have that could create jobs
for a lot of people.
For a lot of people. We can have a lot of bonganis out there if people can push this. If people can push this, because people are not aware that we no longer need a frequency to open a radio station.
Yes.
We need an internet. Internet is available everywhere.
To everyone.
Yeah.
As well.
And talking to that, what's contributing to everything? Nothing operates in silos. What's contributing to everything? What's contributing to the chaos that we're currently in? It's everything. We need to push data policy. You know, there's what we call the digital gap. The digital gap means the people who are high earners have access to more data than people who are low earners. That means it keeps more people who are high earners more informed than people who are low earners. So the digital gap contributes to the economic gap. So if data becomes affordable, a child in the township can easily learn how to use apps, can easily learn how to program.
They can go on YouTube and learn different skills as well.
How many YouTube millionaires we have in the UK? People we call YouTube millionaires. How can we create that if it costs me one megabyte costs me 1 rand, but a 1 megabyte in the UK costs 25 cents? Developing nations act like they are developed. They're costing us more, whereas developed nations are giving everything easy to their nation. So we need structures that are evolving with the current globalization market, because everything, we need to be in par with the world. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
In India is growing economically. And why the reason why India and China are growing economically is because of their access to the internet. A child can access the internet like it's nothing. Yeah, we can't access that.
It's very expensive.
If I cannot access internet, I lack access to what? To new information.
Yes.
If I lack access to new information, I become less skilled. I become
a bit redundant as well.
You know? So that's what I'm saying. So we need to look at the whole climate. Everything that is happening now, it is lack of policy development in all sectors.
I see you want to jump on there and make a couple of comments. Go ahead.
Yeah. Like since you said that, being unemployed, it's based on the pride and self value. Being unemployed must have less stigma attached when a quarter of our workforce is unemployed. The motivation to accept work, any work. Any work, any going wage, since any work is better than no work, may be weaker as a result. This is type of downwards sticky wages. So imagine if you come from a... Okay, let me put it this way, like from the West Rands, Carletonville, Randfontein, Western area and all that.
Yes.
We are surrounded by mines.
Okay.
But there's no a sector whereby They created the sector of giving information about what's going on in the mines, like to provide the information to the youth, to the informal settlements, to the township, to the suburbs. If you find that if you go into the mines, the people who are in there, who participate there, who are working there, who are interns, they're from outside. So now if you create yourself any job, they say that any work is better than no work. What about your health? What about the how to uplift yourself, from where you are? How can you break the ice?
Yeah.
Like going out there and make something out of yourself.
Yeah.
So, you live in a mining community, but there's no access to information about mining.
Mm. Yeah.
So no one within the vicinity or the community where the mine is can be able to start their own mine or even start something that will help a mining operation anywhere in the world. Mm. As well, you're not given the skills that are needed to be competent in the mining sector. Mm. Worst of all, they are hiring people outside.
True.
That community. You know, some of the things that we need to talk about as a nation and really look into, because these are very important. Candice, you wanted to say something?
From what I'm seeing is that, you know, we have this huge mass of issues, and I think obviously the biggest one, you know, we need the internet to be educated, to be empowered. So we've addressed that we need to be educated. But the notion that I see that's lacking within young people is that this, we're not content with the things that we sort of have. This issue of, you know, we want to work really hard to get the cars that AKA and Bonang have. Why are we not working really hard to empower other communities? We're working to better ourselves and not the actual community around. So we need to define what empowerment means, and we need to look at it from empowering ourselves first. What does empowering ourselves mean? And, you know, maybe this is a discussion to you, men, because, I mean, women would say, this is me taking pictures of myself, showing self-love. But how would you, as an entrepreneur, as a young person, inspire empowerment within your male community?
So let's talk about that. You want to make Kabelo wants to make a quick comment before we get into empowering ourselves.
Okay. Yeah, Bongane, you spoke about something very important at the Sibanya Leadership Program, which is the power of networking, you know. I strongly feel that as young people, we shouldn't blame the government all the time for not giving us things that we need, you know what I mean?
Yes.
We can actually create a platform of ourselves in terms of empowering each other to push harder, you know, break ground, you know, be the game changers of the industry, you know what I mean? Because blaming the government will only make things worse, because we on our comfort zone thinking that, nah, government will produce jobs for us, government will bring houses to us, and we as young people are the leaders of this country. If you don't stand ground now and push to break boundaries, then I believe we're not going to grow as a nation. You know, the country needs us as young people.
You know, I've got one person in studio as well that does a lot of the background work, the technical side of things, and that practically runs the studio. And these are some of the people that we want in the conversation to tell us about. We now the conversation is switching to empowering ourselves. What is empowering ourselves, and why is it important? So we'll have Upalisa, who's with the technical team, to come through and tell us a bit about that. So Upalisa, empowering ourselves.
I don't know. I think empowering ourselves is us trying to learn as much as we can. I think that is empowerment, because as the youth, we tend to focus maybe in one field. For example, I'm just a technician, and that's as far as I go as a technician, and I don't try to empower myself in different fields within media. Mm. So I think as the youth, we need to understand that empowerment is actually learning different fields, understanding different fields, even though I master one field, but I need to learn, I need to understand different fields. If, for example, tomorrow I wake up, I'm not a technical producer and I'm just a content producer, I am comfortable, I know, and I can do it, I think.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you work with some of the industry giants here, and What are some of the things that you've learned in being here at Cliff Central, being such a big digital platform, empowering a lot of people, that you feel, Guti, they're very important for a lot of the youth that are listening to this now to hear and understand?
Personally, for me, because it's famous people, it's people with businesses who own big companies, one thing that I've learned is to make them feel great, because already they've got this thing of, I own this, I've got millions in my account, I do this, I do that, I know this person, I know. Make them feel like that. And that's how a show or whatever goes well. Mm. So you need to make them feel like, as in, I own this place, I can do this. Make them feel like everything is going well. Calm them down. One thing I've learned personally is to be patient, to be calm. Mm. Even when things go wrong. Because sometimes I sit outside and I hear or I listen to a show going south.
Mm.
But you need to calm down. There's always a solution to everything and anything. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Palesa. You know, I'm roping her in because we had a very powerful conversation with her about a lot of things within the radio industry and just the media industry and just telling narratives basically entirely. So now I'm going to bring it back to our lovely panel here. What is empowering? What does empowering ourselves mean, and why is it important? So everyone, what is empowering ourselves and why is it important? And we'll start from my left.
I think more than anything, so empowerment requires one basic thing: self-awareness, and just like you said, sense of purpose. It is easier to empower oneself if you know what you want to serve. It is easier to empower oneself if you know what you want to serve.
Hmm.
Like you said earlier on when we were busy in the leadership launch, you said sense of purpose.
Yes.
If you have a sense of purpose, you will be easy to empower yourself. As the lady said, empowerment is about learning.
Hmm.
Learning. If you know what you want to serve, you can choose what you want to learn and how you will execute it.
Hmm.
So the basic foundation of empowerment is self-awareness.
Hmm.
And when you're self-aware, you can easily be aware about the surroundings you are in. And when you are aware about the surroundings you are in, you can easily create opportunities for yourself in those surroundings and opportunities for other people in those surroundings.
Hmm.
So I think the foundation of empowerment is self-awareness above everything else.
Remind us your name again, because you know we're moving a lot of people around and sometimes it's hard to keep up, you know, as a listener at home as to who's saying what. So everyone, as soon as you say something, just remind us your name and then make that comment. So yourself?
I'm Mzwandile Pitso.
That was Mzwandile Pitso, okay. By the way. Nontobego?
Yes, Nontobego Ngosi again. So I think empowering yourself could be, to a good extent at times, shocking yourself. And that can only come, like he said, from understanding your purpose. And for me, understanding your purpose is so much easy. Not easy, but it's so much important, because after understanding what your purpose is in life, if each and everything that you take on, each and every assignment that you take on, you know that I'm purposed to do this. So when those challenges come, you're able to stay head on and continue and continuing with it. Yes, moving forward. So empowering yourself is just knowing that, okay, I want to be like yourself. I want to be a radio host, or I want to be whatever. In that, in each and everything that you're doing, you're gonna now, how then does a radio host get to speak to people, to the president? Because normally the president can only be interviewed by certain radio personalities,
things,
you know. But how can like a youthful show actually have a slot for a president and actually host the president and let it be fun and at the same time connecting with the people, your listeners, you know? So basically, I think everything that he said, that empowering stuff is just knowing what you're doing and therefore now getting everything that you want to do. And I love the example of YouTubers. I watch a lot of vlogs, and that has become a thing. Kardashians, they can wait. I watch vlogs, and now I see young South Africans vlogging, and I'm happy about that. So now you need to know that, okay, I want to be a vlogger. What's the latest camera? what's lighting? How do I do lighting? Do I have to have makeup? Which places do I need to go to? And there'll be people that will be able to sponsor you. They'll give you food. They'll give you money. They'll give you skincare products, clothes, whatever it is. So it's just knowing what you want to do and now networking with people of the same caliber or people that have the same thing and actually ensuring that you don't leave the space the same way you found it. Like radio, like I said, you found it, it's a huge show, and then what happens? Are you only going to have young people here engaging with them? No. Sometimes you need older people to influence or to help out the young.
Yes.
So empowering yourself is just ensuring that you don't leave the space that you got into the same way. You change it. You make an impact.
Wow. Kabelo?
Yep. Kabelo again. Okay, I believe in self-belief. You know, self-belief it's a skill that you need to teach yourself as a young person. You know, I'll do an example about myself. You know, me starting my company 3 years ago, I started from nothing, but then I always believed that I'm gonna get to a certain point where I'm gonna grow. I'm gonna meet, you know, all these big gurus. Look, I'm working with Bongani right now, which is something that I never thought of while I started. But then believing and actually believing in yourself and knowing that you wanna get somewhere at a point in life, the universe will do everything for itself. It will bring, you know, people that you work with in the future.
Yes.
By itself. But it's all about self-belief. Know yourself, know your path, and know where you wanna go in life. You know, young people, this is the time we should push and. Yeah, to self-believe.
Yes. Thanks a lot, Kabelo, for that.
Simpiwe Joshua again. Empowering yourself, I think, is self-belief as well, like he said, Kabelo.
Yes.
It's self-love. And if you want to do something, if you want to achieve something in life, you have to start by looking in a mirror and say, you know I can do it. You know I can do it, but you can't do it on your own without the support structure. This comes from the background, your own home. And the people who are surrounding you, family and friends, you know.
Hey, because that one is a touchy subject. Sometimes, yeah. I like putting family in quotation marks, but not to disturb you. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, you know, in this world, there's like negativity as well as positivity talking.
Yes.
But it's either that it makes you or it breaks you. But at some point in life, you gotta understand that. I'm gonna talk to the young world, and say to them, you can't do it alone. As you navigate through the rest of your life, be open to collaboration. Other people and other people's ideas are often better than your own. Find a group of people who challenge and inspires you. Spend a lot of time with them and it will change your life.
Hmm.
Because as you say that, life is a very mean and nasty place. But I don't care how tough, how tough it is, it will beat down into your knees. But it ain't about how hard you hit. But it ain't hard to get hit by a life. It's about how hard you get hit and keep rise. Moving.
Yes.
You know, failure. You can try try to accomplish things in your life, but there's something that's gonna knock you down.
Yes.
It's like that sign of the yin and the yang.
Mm-hmm.
You know. As soon as you know, in the morning it's darkness and then there's light. At night. There's the moon, which means there's darkness, then there's light, and then there's sunrise, but there's a little bit of darkness.
Mm.
That little bit of darkness is like
the little bit of bad that is there in the world.
Of bad and the good.
Just to add on what Simpiwe is saying, Simpiwe is trying to tell us about what we call, when I was reading Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill said, to be a master, you need to surround yourself with what we call the mastermind group.
Mm.
I want to be like Bongani. How do I do that? I get
guys,
to...
you give me too much credit.
No, you're the only youth person on our panel who's like controlling the panel, so we're going to do that. I'm going to find people like Bongani, surround myself with them, learn from them, let them mentor me. That's the mastermind group.
Yes.
The mastermind group also becomes the foundation. That's how you empower yourself through others. You can see yourself through others. You identify the characteristics that you want to become, and you have the willingness to learn. However, I think we're shying away that you can empower yourself. We are a seed. As the youth, we are a seed. I'm a seed. I have potential.
Mm.
But what ground am I falling on?
Choose. I'm gonna have to cut you short there. Pretty much what Henry Ford did with his team. Henry Ford didn't know how to design a car, but he got people to produce the V8, and the rest is history. So, Candace, your final words, and then we're gonna transition now and change the conversation around.
I feel that what everyone has said is so, again, so crucial, because we don't get this conversation going through high school. A child, we only learn this from when we're 21, and I mean, it would be so crucial for, you know, the Department of Education to change life orientation. I still don't even know how to apply for tax. ALO hasn't taught me that.
Yeah.
So another component within subjects in high school should be empowerment. And everything that's been mentioned here was definitely, you know, I would repeat what everyone had to say.
Yeah. Guys, I wish we could have this conversation for forever. But now, you know, transitioning and changing and switching gears, I hope you're ready for that.
I'm not ready for that. You can't just throw me in. These people had lovely intros and I have no intro. Well, Gani, what are you doing?
I'm coming with an intro.
Okay, you, oh,
yes,
sorry.
You're attacking the youth. I'm sorry, don't attack the youth.
So the Internet of Things has transformed and revolutionalized, I beg your pardon, the way things are done everywhere, even in a business. And we need an expert to help us understand, because up to this day, I don't think there's anyone that can effectively explain what is internet.
Is he here?
Is he here? Well, we've got someone that's going to tell us about, you know, breaking away from the mold of traditional business transacting and integrating internet and social media into doing all of that. And it is the bold like myself. and creative and powerful Mr. Liz Allen. Welcome to the show.
Well, you're very kind. Thank you. Oh, and applause. Lovely. This is fantastic. I must come back more often.
You're very welcome.
Well, thank you. I've got to say, guys, listening to your talk, you couldn't have provided me with a better segue into the topics that I wanted to talk about today. So, Bongani, nice jersey, by the way.
Thank you very much.
Purple's a fantastic color.
It's the color of royalty.
It's the color of royalty, exactly. So the idea of what I wanted to talk about today was in relation to hashtag YouTubeZA.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you guys actually set me up. I couldn't have asked for better. The ideas behind youth being able to take advantage of opportunities that are not traditional anymore. The idea of becoming a YouTube star, the idea of becoming a YouTube celebrity. Some people make it look easy, and that's not really the case. So what we wanted to chat about today, Bongani, was the ideas behind the realities and the opportunities of what it would take to become a YouTube star, and where you can actually go to help make this, to start picking up some of these skills. So, yeah, some of the points, you were just laying them out. It was awesome. The idea of, let me throw a couple of stats to you.
Okay.
If you wanted to be one of the top 100 YouTubers in the world from a subscriptions base, you need 10 million subscribers minimum.
Whoa.
Demi Lovato rounds out the 100 with just over 10 million subscribers. If you wanted to be a top 100 subscriber in South Africa, 29,000.
Gee, that's a big difference.
That is a big difference.
That is a big difference.
Now, you're talking the top YouTube channels in South Africa are people like are people that you wouldn't actually normally think, like De Antwoord. You wouldn't normally think, oh, of course, well, they're South African. So, yes, it applies. But also one of the biggest YouTube channels is Kruger.
Really?
Kruger National Park. People just leave the cameras on and stream the cameras that are set up in Kruger National Park just on the off chance they might see
something
incredible.
Wow.
A couple of years ago, the battle at Kruger. And if you're online right now, go and check it out if you've not seen it. It's a 10-minute video where lions attack a buffalo and then a crocodile gets involved. And there's it's a ridiculous movie.
But all of
a sudden, but all of a sudden, that is going to get viral traction. And that's what... When we start talking about wanting to get onto YouTube and wanting to get favors, everybody's looking for the viral aspect. I need something to kick me on. But we want to reinforce to people that it's not necessarily that easy. But in South Africa, in Africa, youth of today actually has an advantage over the rest of the world. And that is because the youth in South Africa and the youth in Africa grow up with a completely different framework, completely different lifestyle, a completely different viewpoint on jobs, on education, on family life. Whatever your view is on the black tax, how do you explain that to white people? Yeah. How do you explain that to anybody else to help them understand? The youth in South Africa have this incredible opportunity to be able to get a message out, but it's not enough just to get your camera, to take a video and put it out there and expect that the hits will come.
Yes.
There's a there's a lady on Carla Harris. She is called the Social Bard. Mm-hmm. Now, she started up her own business where she's helping companies get a better understanding of what sort of videos they should be putting out, how they should be engaging with customers. Over the last year, she's helped a couple of local channels grow to more than 20,000 subscribers. Now, remember, to get to the top 100 in South Africa, you only need 28,000. So she's done fantastic work with these two channels in understanding how do we get our message out in the right way to the right people. So it's not just a case of record a video. You might get lucky. You might have this amazing insight. You might have the look. You yes. might have the voice. You might have something that makes you go, okay, this is now really sticky and I want to watch this. Mm-hmm. But oftentimes, it's hard work. It's graft. If you're going to do a YouTube channel, you need to be prepared for the commitment that every Thursday, every Tuesday, every day, I'm dropping stuff. Mm-hmm. You can't just view it as, I'm going to do this for a couple of weeks. Oh, no, now I'm bored. Yeah. If you want to make this, and it's possible, it's eminently possible that you can actually make a living doing endorsements, doing brand ambassadorships, but you have to build yourself up first. You have to have an understanding of what is your message, how you want to convey this, and how you're going to shape yourself. It's not enough to just go to Mac or to Urban Decay and say, hey, I like makeup. You have makeup. Give me makeup. I will wear your makeup.
So where do they get it wrong? Where do they get it wrong? And
well, actually,
so
one of the
we can understand that.
Now, this is the shameless plug. I'll get to the shameless plug in just a second. But a lot of the people don't tend not to understand fully the requirement of the commitment.
Mm.
We're talking about the lighting, talking about the tricks. How can I do this to make a better video? There's a lot of craft behind here, and this is where the shameless plug's coming in. I apologize. In not this weekend coming, next weekend at Icon Comics and Games Convention, which I'm a part of, so that's transparency there, we're hosting a whole bunch of panels around hashtag YouTubeZA. So one of the panels will actually be by Michael Kost, the guy who coined hashtag YouTubeZA. What he's going to be talking about is all these little pitfalls, all these little things that you don't necessarily know. What is your commitment level? How much is it going to cost you in time to learn how to edit videos, to make these properly? You've got the ability to stop, edit, and repost a video. There should be no reason for slip-ups. There should be no... Unless they're incredibly funny, and then just, like, leave them in. Because that's great. Because people like the human aspect of watching
things,
people.
Yes.
So Michael Kost is going to be doing a panel. Carla Harris, she's going to be doing a panel on what you need to do to build up your YouTube following. And we also have Sam Wright, Tech Girl. Now, Sam, I'm going to mention again in a couple of minutes, but what Sam is doing is she's going to be hosting a spotlight panel, and I'm seeing the Canon over there, so it's a nice plug. Canon has kindly donated to a couple of our international guests the G7X vlogging camera. Which is what Sam uses. Sam is at a point where she's being invited and being paid for as a brand ambassador. She just came back from Taiwan, where she was covering, because of EveTech, the computer company, she went over and covered a computer conference. So they paid for her to go. She covered the event. She created the content, and she put it online for them. So they've got professional coverage. They've got a brand ambassador. And this is somebody who's built up over 2 to 3 years' time. So don't expect immediate results. You need to have the runs on the board, the consistency. I've made 2 videos a week, every week, whether I wanted to or not. Those are the expectations. There's a lot of commitment around doing a video and to making a polished video. Mm-hmm. And that's probably the key failing point, that everybody has this idea that, well, PewDiePie's got tens of millions of followers and all he does is play a game and make jokes while he does it. Well, I can do that because I'm funny.
Yes. And I can play games.
And you can play games.
And record it and upload it online.
And anybody can do that. No, it's not quite that. How are you going to be different? YouTube has over 12 days of footage uploaded every 24 hours. 300 hours of content goes up onto YouTube every day. And you've just come out of a party. You've just come out of a political discussion with the family. You've just come back from school. And you decide you want to grab your phone and you want to vlog about it. What makes you different? Why should I listen to you as opposed to Bongani? Why yes. should I listen to this person? Sorry, I missed your name when I came in. Sorry.
Nondo Bego.
Sorry, Nondo. Okay, cool. So Nondo was talking about a lot of aspects about YouTube, that you've got these ideas that you can get up and you can start expressing, but what makes you really different? And one of the things about hashtag YouTubeZA and that community is it's a community. A lot of the really successful YouTubers realize collaboration
is very key.
Is key. So if Nondo's got a channel and I've got a channel and I get Nondo on as my guest, so I have maybe 1,000 people that follow me.
Yes, that subscribe.
Nondo has now been exposed to those 1,000 people. Mm. Nondo gets me on as a guest on her channel. Nondo has 2,000 people. All of a sudden, I'm exposed to those. I might pick up 50 people.
And that's what happens to most YouTubers that I watch, because they make these collab videos. They'll tell you we have a slumber party. Mm-hmm. So tonight we're going to be talking about this topic. So everyone who's from the other channel will move over to this one to watch. So that's how they get like a lot of followers.
Yeah, reciprocity. So it's reciprocity. What you're doing, do for somebody else. You're not going to be able to make your tower on your own here. The gentleman whose chair I'm sitting in, he mentioned family.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag YouTubeZA, if you do it right, is a family. These are people who are supportive because you're all wanting the same thing. But there's a term that I'm very very much a fan of, benevolent self-interest. Mm. If you help enough people get what they want, you will get what you want. So there's a host of YouTubeZA, hashtag YouTubeZA people out there that are trying to support people. Like Shani ZA, over time, she just started a channel up around about 6 to 12 months ago, 450 subscribers. So she's slowly building, and it's going to get to a point where that rolls over.
So I'm going to have to come in there because I'm looking at time. Mm-hmm. And we're just going to need closing remarks from you.
Sure.
And in terms of now that we know what goes wrong,
mm-hmm.
what do we focus on? What do we punt on? And what... how do we make it work?
First thing is to understand yourself. I think Nondo actually said it. I think multiple people said it. You can have a voice, but then you might not be any different to somebody who's watching sport on the weekend and just decides they have an opinion about something. Who cares about your opinion? Who really cares? Is it a well thought out opinion? Is it delivered in an interesting way? Is it a fresh, unique take on something that somebody else is already doing? Find yourself, understanding your reasons as to why you want to do this. If your reason is to make billions, yeah, best of luck, it's not going to happen. look, it happens in the rare case, like PewDiePie, but that should not be your main motivation. You can be looking to build excellent content, and to do that is to have an understanding of who you are. And what is it that you're trying to do? Am I just doing these games just for fun in the chance that I get viral? Or can I really put together some really nice messaging and a different viewpoint on an idea, on a topic, and get that message out? Sorry, I think you've been jumping.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, because of the time we have to go. So how do people... get a hold of you to get all these wonderful tips and advices.
So I would actually recommend that they go out, check out the Social Bard, socialbard.com.
Okay.
Carla does a lot of free videos where she actually gives out content. These are the things you should be doing. And come to ICON 2017, which is happening Youth Day long weekend at Gallagher Convention Center. Mm-hmm. Once you pay for your ticket, there are panels all weekend on how to be a better communicator. We've got Chris Jordan, former radio producer from mm-hmm. Tux FM and Highfelt. He's talking about how to do voice projection, how to do better videos by having better conversations. So there's a host of free stuff that's available at the convention once you get through the door.
Well, thanks a lot. Thanks to everyone that came through to the studio, and thanks a lot for your valuable inputs. And we hope with, you know, the Youth Leadership Platform going forward that we'll have more of these engaging conversations. But more than anything, exposing these important narratives is not important as doing something about these narratives. So follow the narrative on YLP Cliff Central on Twitter and Instagram, and Youth Leadership Platform on Facebook. Myself, it's Bourgani Tau, that's Bourgani Tau, on Twitter and Facebook. From us at the YLP team, we will be with you next week at 2 p.m. For now, it's good day and God bless. CliffCentral.com.